of Revelation, the fifth chapter, verse number 7. And we're going to read down to the end of the chapter. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of colors, odors, which are the prayers of saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever. I like the reading of that because you find, if you remember, we talked about last week, you move over to heaven here in chapter 4, chapter 5, and all you see is God glorified. Jesus honored and honored over and over again. You don't see man being honored here. It's the Lord being honored. And I love that. And that's what's going to happen in heaven. Down here, you know, we have the opposite. We've got man being honored and lifted up and all of that. But in heaven, that's not the way it's going to be. And that's very, very, very important. Now, I read that just simply so we would remember who should be honored and glorified and lifted up. And now in chapter 6, and that's where we're going to begin today, we're going to begin with verse number 1. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, Come and see. We see here the Lamb, which is the Lord Jesus Christ, opens one of the seals. And he says, as it were the noise of thunder. And he said there that the one of the four beasts saying, told John, Come and see, come and look. And in verse number 2, and I saw and behold a white horse. And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. The tribulation period is referred to in the Bible in different ways and different names. What I'm going to do is read to you, not read the scripture, but read to you where they are listed. And we won't take but just a moment or two, but it's called sometimes the Day of the Lord and the Day of Judgment. Revelation 14:7, Revelation 15:4, and Revelation 16:5, and Revelation 19:2. And then it's called the Day of Wrath, which is Zephaniah, the first chapter, 15th through the 18th verse, and 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse number 10, and 1 Thessalonians, the fifth chapter, verse number 9, Revelation, the sixth chapter, verse 16 and 17, and Revelation, the 11th chapter, verse 18. Revelation 14, it's through 10 through 19. Revelation 15, verse 1 through 7, and Revelation 16, verse 19. And then the day of indignation, which is Isaiah, the 26th chapter, verse 20 and 21, and Isaiah, the 34th chapter, Isaiah, and that'll be the first three verses, verse 1 through 3. Then the day of trial, and that we find is in Revelation 3:10. And then the day of trouble, we find that in Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, 7th verse, Zephaniah, the 1st chapter, and verse 14 and 15, and Daniel, the 12th chapter, verse number 1. And then the day of destruction, which is in Joel, the 1st chapter, verse 15, and 1 Thessalonians, the 5th chapter. So you find that these are different names given for the tribulation period, okay? And then it begins, though, on a very peaceful way. I'm going to turn over, you can if you wish, but I'm going to turn over to the book of Daniel, the 11th chapter, verse 21. I'm going to read it there. It says, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person, to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." So once again, this is the way the tribulation period begins. It begins in a peaceful, flattering way, and we'll talk more about that. And if you will notice, and I'm not going to read all of these, but in the book of Revelation, the 6th chapter, you will see that it begins chapter 6, verse 1 through chapter 8. And this is the seals. There is three different chapters here, three different portions of Scripture that the Scriptures tell us about three different judgments that God's going to send on the earth. The first one is the seals. The second one is the trumpets, and that's in chapter 8 on through chapter 19. And then you see the vials through chapter 16 through chapter 19. So anyway, the seals bring forth the trumpets, and then the trumpets bring forth the vials. The last seal, which is opened in chapter 8, verse 1, you will find opens up then the trumpets. The last seal that is broken opens up the trumpets in chapter 8. Then the same thing happens in chapter, I believe it's chapter 16, where the vials are opened up. The last one of the trumpets opens up the vials. So we have three different judgments, three different ones. And so those are quite devastating. I guess I want to stress to you that the seals, the trumpets, and the vials are probably worse than anybody here can understand. They are simply in the Scriptures given very simply and very shortly, and we are told something about them, but I don't think any of us understand the devastation that's going to take place in these judgments that God is going to let come on the earth. I don't think any of us can understand. They are great, great judgments. And anyway, remember something. They have not been fulfilled. They are something that has absolutely not been fulfilled. and won't be until the tribulation period. The rider on the white horse, as we begin, it says, "And I saw, and behold, a white horse." That's in verse 2. "And he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer." So here you find the rider is the Antichrist. That is the Antichrist. That's the one whom we've heard about, I've heard about for years and years and years. He is the one that's riding the white horse. Okay? And so then let me just read to you a verse of scripture over in 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse number 8. "And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming." And here it's that wicked one, the Antichrist, which it tells us Jesus is going to destroy him. Okay, that's important. You remember that. Because Jesus is going to destroy him. And the writer has been giving a crown which was given unto him. And he says in Daniel, the 11th chapter, 21st verse, "And in his estate shall stand up a vile person," it says, "to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries." And he's going to come in, first of all, and I think this is important that you get a hold of this, because he's going to come in, first of all, in a peaceful manner. And he's going to do so, and he's going to conquer and to conquer. He's been given a crown here. I think maybe it may be that he's been given this because of his great wealth and promises that he has made to those whom he's going to rule over. So that's possibly. In the word peaceably and flatteries, it means a ease or prosperity. And it's going to come in. He's going to oversee things. He's going to kind of rule. He's going to have the answer, you see, for all of this. You see, there's going to be quite a bit of damage done. Remember that when the Antichrist takes over, the rapture has already happened. And the Christians are gone. And let me say this. A lot of Christians owe a lot of money. Okay? Christians owe money. And that's going to cause a lot of trouble on this old earth. And that's going to really cause a lot of problems. And we need to remember that there's going to be a lot of problems that happen when the rapture happens. And the Christians that are gone owe money. And things are going to get very, very, very serious. And we need to remember that. And so it's going to go downhill very, very fast. I hope you remember this, because it's going to go wild fast. And he's going to have some answers. Okay? He's going to have some answers. The Antichrist is going to come up with some answers. And so just remember, the economy is going to go down very fast. And that's important that you remember that, because, you see, it's going to go to a place where somebody's going to have some answers. And the Antichrist is the one that's going to step up and have these answers, okay? So be sure and remember that. That's important that you do. And his weapon, now he had a crown, and he had a weapon which was a bow. And the bow did not have any arrows with it. And that's, of course, that's normal. That takes place because he's going to step in. He's going to do this in a peaceful manner. And so anyway, you remember one of the mottos of the United States is peace through strength. Peace through strength. And I don't know, I don't know how all of this is going to come to pass, because it's all going to be brought to pass in a way when the Christians are gone. They're gone, and he's going to step in. He's going to have some answers, and he's going to cause things to seemingly look right and do right, you see. And that's only going to be. Now, remember, this tribulation period is only for 7 years. That's it. And 3.5, I'm saying around 3.5 of that is going to be that peaceful time. Okay? And that's a very short time. That's a short period of time, you see. And so anyway, in the book of Daniel, let me just read a verse of scripture. The 11th chapter, verse 38. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, and a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. And you see the forces, the word forces that he uses there means stronghold or safety or protection. In other words, he's going to honor the forces. Now, what's the significance of the white horse? You know, years and years ago, the white horse was the victor. He was the one whom would come forth and win the victory, and he would be riding the white horse. And you see, in the first of this, he's riding a white horse. Peace and flatteries and all kinds of things like this, he's going to bring forth. Okay? And so anyway, the idea, I guess, and I don't know that this will be true, but it might be that the idea is that, that maybe the United Nations is the one that's going to step up. I do not know that. I don't know that the Antichrist is going to work through the United Nations. I do not know that. But I know he's going to have the answers. And he's going to step up with those answers. And then, in verse number 3, it says, "And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, Come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword." He's going to be given a great sword. Let me read to you out of Matthew, the 24th chapter. "And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all of these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places." You see, when the second horse comes out, he's a red horse, and he stands for war. And he's going to be given the ability, the Antichrist is going to be given the ability to begin the war on this old earth. Remember I said, 7 years is all the longer this goes. That's it. I think the first 3 or 3.5 is going to be fairly peaceful, although there'll be things happening because God is going to bring judgment on this earth, you see. You know, in a an example of this is the Nuremberg trial revealed that from 1933 to 1941, there was 69 different treaties that Germany forfeited and went against that they had had with other nations. 69 of them. Men will not hold to treaties. They're not going to do it, folks. You can write all the treaties you want to write, and men are not going to hold to them. Okay, so you remember that. They may for a while, until it takes care of their problem. That may be what they want taken care of, but it's not going to happen. Right now, there's countries which are developing the neutron bomb, which kills people and leaves buildings intact. And there is 40 different nations that we know of that have those in their war laboratories. 40 different nations. I'm not trying to scare you. I'm trying to wake you up. Don't be scared. Don't be worried. God is our God. Amen. He's our God. I'm just trying to tell you things that is true, that is happening. Okay? And so don't be scared. Remember, you have a living Savior. The Lord Jesus Christ is the living Savior. And He will take care of us, you see. You see, those countries that I just mentioned, out of those is Iran, Iraq, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Libya, Syria, and these are some of the nations that have this in their laboratories, their war laboratories. Okay. In fact, here a few years back, China said they would. The leader of China said he would be glad to lose 700 million. Out of his country to be able to rule the world. See, that's what it's all about. You understand? That's what it's all about. That's why we have to get right with God, stay right with God, and look for Him to come and to get us one of these days. Amen? That's what we've got to do. We've got to get our eyes off of this old worldly stuff and get our eyes on the things of the Lord. Amen? It's what we got to do. And so you be sure and you remember that. During the first 3 years of the early 90s, in the 1990, there was 84 armed conflicts in the world going on. 84 armed conflicts in the first 3 years of 1990. Some of them were small, but they were armed conflicts going on. That has been going on constantly since then. We just don't hear about all of them, but there's battles and fighting and wars going on all over this world. Now, in verse number 5 and 6, and when he had opened the third seal, I heard a third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and 3 measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." You see, this is the black horse of famine. Famine always follows war. And war is going to take place during the tribulation period. And this is not going to affect just one little segment. It's going to affect the whole world. And folks, I think you already know this, but that's why I keep saying to you, you don't want to be here during the tribulation period. You do not want to be here. You just do not want to be here. You need to be gone. You need to be with the Lord. In heaven, with the Lord. You see, and so you got to make sure that you're born again. That you're saved. You're born again. You've got to be sure of that without any shadow of a doubt. And I want to encourage you this morning as you sit through the preaching. I know he'll give the gospel. He'll tell you how to be saved. Our pastor will do that. And he'll tell us how to be sure you're saved. See, be sure that you're saved. You're born again. Okay? Just be sure of that. Now, the balances that he had indicates the scarcity of food. That always goes with it. A measure of wheat for a penny. I want to describe this because I want you to get a hold of this. A measure of barley, 3 measures of barley for a penny. All right? Now you say, well, that don't sound bad. Well, in the what he's talking about here was a day's wage. And a measure of wheat to sustain a man was approximately 2 pints of wheat for a day. And it was going to cost a day's wages. Okay? He's not talking about our penny. Okay? He's talking about a day's wages. All right? So remember that. Get a hold of that. And if you get 3 measures of barley for a penny, you'd get enough maybe to feed your family. Maybe. Nothing else. Okay? So, I mean, remember this. When you see that penny there, he's not just talking about that penny that you and I have in our pocket. He's not talking about that. No, no, no. I think I've got one. That's a penny. It's called a denarius. In the Bible, it's a denarius. It's a day's wage. Okay? So get a hold of that. Remember that. You see, the tribulation period has just taken everything down. All right? The wars is going to start. And he's going to have it where if you buy anything, you have to have his mark, his number. You remember that? You understand what I'm talking about? Okay. Just remember that, okay? Now, I'm going to read to you Ezekiel, the 7th chapter, verse 19. They shall cast their silver in the streets, and their gold shall be removed. Their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver them in the day of the wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. I'm going to read to you in James, the 5th chapter. He says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. Ye have heaped treasure together for the last days. You see, even in America, famine is to some degree beginning to show up even already in America. We have, they tell us, 4 countries. 4 countries that produce as much food as they eat. 4 countries in the world out of about 180 countries. Okay? And so multitudes, we have United States, Canada, France, and Argentina that produce enough food that they eat. And there's multitudes that is starving to death across the world. You see, we don't know that. We can just go and we can get our food. We can go to a grocery store and get that food whenever we want it, because I think everybody here has the ability to do that. But not all over the United States. See, a lot of it is they're giving them through these help places. They bring them in and they go get the food at these help places. So again, I just wanted you to know, the food organization says in Africa, in the next few years, they could have up to 30 million children that will die of starvation in Africa. 30 million children. Okay? Oh, I know I'm giving you some tough stuff, but I want you to hear it. Okay? See, in 2025, they tell us that it's estimated that 1 million children per month will come to true starvation. Now, folks, I'm just giving you stuff that is true. It all sounds right now that's just surely not true, but it is. And it's developing, it's heading in that direction, and I think you need to know about it. You know, baby girls are killed in countries like China and India and North Korea because there's a limit on how many children they can have, and they kill the girls. There's a certain way they do that, and they kill girls. I'm just telling you, folks, these things are tough. But in Jesus' day, in his day, around 250 million people were on this earth. In Jesus' day. Okay? In 1500, there was around 500 million. Okay? And in 1850, there was around 1 billion. 1 billion. Okay? And I'm going to have to stop here. And in 1900, was about 1.5 billion. And in 1950, around 2.5 billion in 1950. And then in 1980, it doubled to 5 billion people. And then at the time of this writing that I have here, there is 6.2 billion people. Okay? And there's people who says, well, there's only room and we can only feed 2 billion people. Well, they're wrong, but let me tell you something, it's getting serious. Now, the reason I'm saying that is because we're going to have to prepare for the tribulation period. And the way you do that is you get people saved. You get people saved. You get them, you bring them to Christ and you get them saved. Get them ready for when Jesus comes and lifts us off of this old earth and takes us home to be with him. Now, I had more to give you, but I just want you to realize something. This thing is very serious. Do you understand it? And we're heading toward the tribulation period very, very fast. Let's pray, Father. Thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness. Thank you for loving us and caring for us and meeting our needs. Thank you, Father, that you love us and you're coming after us. In Jesus' name we pray.